Hey, this is your host, Tofu Dave, on Community Radio with another edition of Between the Covers, a literature quickie. And we've got a real good quickie today because I've got Pat Thomas on the line, the author of a fantastic, new, interesting book called Material Wealth, Mining the Personal Archive of Allen Ginsberg. And Pat, this is a real, I almost want to call it a coffee table of a book. You've got a memorabilia kind of stuff in here that I've never seen before. Tell me a little bit about how this book came about.
Sure. Allen Ginsberg never threw anything away. He kept letters from friends. He kept receipts from a store. He kept his airline tickets. He kept, obviously, journals and poetry and anything connected to his art. He kept posters and other memorabilia. And so he had about 100,000 items before he died. And he sold those to Stanford University. And me and Peter Hale from the Ginsberg Estate looked at about 10,000 items and picked about 500 of our favorites. And this is sort of like a museum exhibition catalog for an exhibition that doesn't exist.
Yeah. One of the funny things I saw in the book, you got a picture of the young Pat Thomas, I believe, interviewing Allen Ginsberg back in like 1984 or so. And if I got it right, if that's really you in the photo holding up a cassette recorder, you look very young and very earnest. Can you tell us about that interview?
Yeah, you know, I was about 19 and 20 in 1984. I was already a big Ginsberg fan. The amazing thing about Allen is he answered his own fan letters. He answered his own letters back in the snail mail days. And so we traded a letter or two already. And then when he came to Rochester, he was performing some poetry. And as the event was ending, I just jumped on stage and asked him if we could do an interview. I'm holding a little cassette Walkman recorder, and I'm extremely earnest. And for those of you who buy the book or check out the book, I'm really talking to him about rock and roll. We're talking about his associations with The Clash, you know, British punk band, his connections to The Grateful Dead. The band King Crimson had just done a concept album about Jack Kerouac. We talk about that.
Yeah, and Ginsberg knew about these bands. That surprised me a little bit, that he was like, even he was getting a little older, but he was like right up there with some of these bands that you might not expect a person his age
well,
to even know that.
I would agree with you, except Ginsberg was unique in that he was a key part of three decades of counterculture, right? He helps invent the Beat Generation, start the Beat Generation in the 50s with Jack Kerouac and William Burroughs. In the 1960s, he's hanging out with the Beatles and Bob Dylan. He becomes a counterculture hippie icon. In the 70s, he's hanging out with The Clash and Patti Smith in the streets of New York. So if there was going to be an old guy who was going to be hip to cutting-edge artists in the 80s, it was going to be Allen Ginsberg.
Yeah, you're right. Pat Thomas, author of Material Wealth, Mining the Personal Archive of Allen Ginsberg. Now, Pat, let me try. I have trouble being serious sometimes, but I want to try.
Okay.
You know, Allen Ginsberg is now really sort of an iconic name. His poem Howl sort of put him on the radar of the literary world to me. But a lot of people don't realize that he also had influences in, you know, that older poets or former poets that influenced him. Could you tell us a little about his roots, actually, in the literary poetry scene?
Well,
who influenced Allen Ginsberg?
I would say one of Ginsberg's biggest influences was William Blake. William Blake was a poet and visual artist from 100 years earlier. And Ginsberg actually took some of Blake's poetry and added music and sang it and recorded an album called Songs of Innocence, Songs of Experience that came out in 1970. I recently got it reissued on CD through Omnivore Recordings. And my book focuses, in the back section anyway, on Ginsberg as a performing artist, right? I saw him as a great singer, blues singer, folk singer, as well as his poetry. Walt Whitman was also inspired Ginsberg. So Ginsberg had a real sense of poetic history. You know, he was sort of steeped in the classics as he proceeded on his own.
Right. Right. Good point. And what about William Carlos Williams? I sometimes hear his name tossed around as an influence on Ginsberg. Is that off base at all?
No, that's totally correct. In fact, I believe the book Howl on the front page or second page is dedicated to Williams Carlos Williams.
Right, right. I had forgotten about that.
Yeah, I have to plead ignorance that I'm not that steeped in the legacy and work of Williams Carlos Williams. So I don't have too much more to add to that. I'm a little embarrassed to admit.
Mm-hmm. And if I may jump to, you know, a community radio, we ask all sorts of questions and we go in a lot of different ways that sometimes your more traditional radio doesn't. I want to jump into the political scene just a bit, because I know at one point, and you have some memorabilia about it, back in the day, as we say now, there was the Black Panthers, a big revolutionary political scene. There was something called the White Panther Party. There was something called the Youth International Party, or the Yippies. And I know you've got some Ginsberg memorabilia in your book from that time.
Well,
how was it that Ginsberg was involved with that type of political scene, and what was that scene like at the time?
Well, this book is really sort of, the Ginsberg book is sort of a trilogy. My first book was called Listen, Whitey, The Sounds of Black Power, and I explored how the Black Panther Party intersected with musicians of all kinds. My second book was called Do It, Jerry Rubin, an American Revolutionary, and he was co-founder of the Yippies with Abby Hoffman. And so Ginsberg, there's a running thread. Because Ginsberg, first of all, Ginsberg was a very outspoken anti-Vietnam War activist. And so that's how he became friends with Jerry Rubin and Abby Hoffman. He was in Chicago in 1968 during the Chicago Democratic Convention protests. Ginsberg knew people like Stokely Carmichael and other Black rights activists. And so Ginsberg, of course, later spearheaded his own gay rights activism. And so if you're really a fan of the 1960s, if you love the Beatles and Dylan and everything else that came with it, if you're not also connected to the political scene of the 60s, you're really missing out.
Well said, Pat. Pat Thomas, author of Material Wealth, Mining the Personal Archive of Allen Ginsberg. Pat, it has been a pleasure today to get between the covers with you on Community Radio. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, again, this has been another edition of Between the Covers, a literature quickie with your host, Tofu Dave, on your community radio station, WCOM, FM 103.5, Chapel Hill, and Carver. See you again next time.